Historian in residence Cormac Moore spoke to Ciarán Murray. Cormac explains why all the elected members were not present and, of course, why the first meeting of Dáil Éireann did not take place in Leinster House. Ciarán began by asking him to set the scene for us on that momentous day.
Yeah, well, I suppose the first thing to do is give a bit of background. Just a few weeks prior to the meeting of the first Dáil, Sinn Féin had won a spectacular victory in the general election of 1918, the British general election. They won 73 of the 105 Irish seats. And one of the promises they made during the general election was that they would withdraw from Westminster. They would no longer trust the British to come up with a solution for the Irish, and they would form their own constituent assembly. And once the results came in on 28th of December, they realised the size of the victory, and they soon went about organising to meet for the first Dáil in January. The reason why they acted so quickly was that Westminster was due to convene in the beginning of February 1919. But they wanted to have their own parliament, own assembly meeting up in January. So they had a few meetings in the beginning of January, all primarily in the Mansion House. And our first public meeting was held in the Mansion House on 21st of January 1919.
And so, I mean, how many of them were there? There was a lot of people. I suppose the Mansion House was quite big, but did they need... Was it hard to get all the people into one space?
Well, there were 73 seats won by Sinn Féin. There were 73 seats won by 69 people, because four of them actually won seats in two constituencies. So it was meant to be 69. Actually, they invited everyone, every Irish MP elected, they invited to the meeting of the first Dáil, including the unionists. Now, unsurprisingly, the unionists never turned up. And so neither did the Irish Party. The six that were returned for the Irish Party, they didn't turn up either. So it was the 69 Sinn Féin MPs who were always the ones who would only turn up. However, the majority of those were still in British prisons, all arrested and not charged for the German plot, a fiasco in May of 1918. They were all still in prison. So you had 34 people actually in British prisons. You also had about three or four people exiled. You had two people, Michael Collins and Harry Boland, who were actually on a mission to England to rescue the Sinn Féin leader, Éamon de Valera, from Lincoln Prison. Now, they were actually recorded at present in the Dáil, but they actually weren't. They were actually on their way to rescue de Valera. So, in actual fact, there was only 27 people who turned up on the first meeting.
So, if they were listed as being in attendance and they weren't, was that lies on the first record of the Dáil meeting?
Yeah, but they actually subsequently changed it to Oslaugher, but on the day itself, they did it to deceive the British that... They didn't want to give any clues as to their whereabouts. So, as I said, there were 27. It was a very much a kind of for an international audience, the first Dáil. They did invite the public. And I think about 1,000 people kind of made their way in into the round room, into the galleries. But they reserved most of the best spaces for the international press. And there was quite a big attendance from... news outlets all over the world that attended the meeting.
And were the British aware, or were the British happy that this was going on?
Well, I don't know if they were happy, but they were aware, and a new Chief Secretary had just been appointed, Ian McPherson. He'd only started about a week or two beforehand. They did convene a meeting just days before it all, and they decided they wouldn't do anything. They were going to let it take place, and they did let it convene. They had, they should say, were aware that, obviously they were talked to the press a lot. There was, for every meeting they had before the first public meeting, they issued press statements that they told the press exactly what they intended to do, what was going to be covered in the first Dáil. That was all reported in the press. So the British knew, and the British also raided the Sinn Féin headquarters in Harcourt Street, and they actually took a draft constitution that Sinn Féin were working on for the first meeting of the first Dáil. So they were aware, but they decided, look, let it go ahead. Many people believe, look, this was just a talking shop, one newspaper outlet in Britain said it was a case of breeding air and a childish illegal gathering, but you actually would make it worse by actually not allowing.
And was there an order of business? What did they discuss on the agenda on the forestall?
Yeah, it was a very short meeting actually. It was only about two and a half hours, if even that. And it was all mainly in Irish as well. Most of the proceedings were in the Irish language. The first thing they did was they said a few prayers, as they would do. And Father Michael O'Flanagan, who was well known in Sinn Féin circles, he was the person who convened the prayers.
Okay.
Then they elected a Count Corla. The first Count Corla was Cottle Brua. So he was unanimously elected. Then they read out, basically, it was reading out a number of documents and a number of declarations. The first one being the draft constitution. They also read out a message to the free nations of the world. They read out a declaration of independence. And then finally, they read out a democratic program, which they had collaborated with the Labour Party to write, actually. And some of the declarations and documents were read out in Irish, French and English, and in that order. So English was relegated to a third spot behind French.
Okay, and did that impress the French? Do we know if the French media were paying attention?
Yeah, well, I don't know if the French commented on the fact that they were second language, so some of the declarations were read out, but they did say it was kind of a new epoch, you know, it was a new beginning. Some of the foreign press were praiseworthy and said, look, they're a very bold statement, and even though it's very somber proceedings, it is a very significant event. A lot of the foreign press actually were baffled by the Irish language. They just had no idea what was happening at all. But a lot of them said it was very boring, it was a very dull meeting. Most of the actual TDs, that's the first time the term "talk to Dáil" was used. TDs, and they refused to call themselves members of MPs. Most of the TDs didn't know Irish either, so they were actually speaking from a script, a stilted script, and it didn't flow freely even when they were reading from a script, and that was quite obvious to the foreign press as well.
It
obviously was a bold move to speak mainly in Irish to show that we are totally distinct from Britain and England, that we have our own language, our own culture, and so on. But unfortunately, most people didn't realise what was being said at the meeting. And another observation from the international press was they couldn't get over how the actual TDs were. Like one newspaper outlet said that it was so surprising that there was no grey hair and just a couple of bald heads in the meeting.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, lots of young men. And maybe just to wrap up, I assume Countess Markovitch was in prison in England, but were there any women present? Were there any women taking part?
Well, there were some in the crowd not taking part, though, because obviously it was just for the elected TDs that to take part. Now they did select role clerks and so on. I'm not aware of any women being selected for those particular roles. There would have been women in the audience, absolutely. But obviously, as a TD, the only TD that was a woman elected was, of course, Markovitch, and she was in prison at the time. There was a meeting the next day, the 22nd of January. That was a private meeting, and the third one was on the 1st of April. That's when most of the TDs who were in prison were released, and most of them are at that meeting.
So, of those original,
he was actually elected Minister for Labour.
Of those original 27, because with De Valera not being there and Collins not being there and stuff, did many of those go on to play major roles in Irish politics?
But there was obviously Cottle Brua. A lot of them are in prison now, it's hard to kind of pinpoint. Like Kevin Higgins would have been there. He obviously was a prominent minister in it. A lot of them are in prison, though. Like a lot of the players, like Cosgrave would have been in prison, Griffith would have been in prison, Collins, as I said, was away, De Valera was in prison. So, the one thing about that kind of revolutionary kind of group was that they were generally the main players in the Free State as well. So, a lot of those 27 would have been around as well and in political circles afterwards.
And that was historian in residence with Dublin City Libraries, Cormac Moore. And for more on this, you can look up www.historyireland/20th century.